Funding for this edition of Think Tank with Steve Adubato has been provided by the New Jersey Education Association, New Jersey Sharing Network, NJ Best, New Jersey's 529 College Savings Plan, Wells Fargo, the Russell Berry Foundation, making a difference,
the Adler Aphasia Center,
Georgian Court University, Johnson & Johnson, and by Summit Health, a provider of primary, specialty, and urgent care. Promotional support provided by Insider NJ and by the New Jersey Business and Industry Association.
Hi, everyone. I'm Steve Adubato. It is our honor to recognize, listen, we always talk about our teachers, our educators being important and great, and we just don't give them enough attention. We don't recognize them enough. Well, this program is going to disprove that by us recognizing three very significant NJEA, New Jersey Education Association, County Teachers of the Year. First up, Tammy Nicole Cooper is the Passaic County Teacher of the Year and an English language arts teacher at Passaic High School. Welcome, Tammy.
Hello, thank you for having me.
You got it. Next up, I feel like it's a Super Bowl. We're announcing the starting lineup. It's Darren Walsko is the Somerset County Teacher of the Year and a biology and human biology, not sure what the difference is, teacher at Watchung Hills Regional High School. Congratulations, Darren.
Thank you very much, Steve. What a pleasure to be here.
Same here having you. And finally, Alyssa Geary, Monmouth County Teacher of the Year and Special Education and Language Arts Teacher at Red Bank Middle School. Alyssa, welcome and congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
You got it. And by the way, this program is dedicated to recognizing our public school teachers. And I want to jump right into this, Tammy, with you. Tell everyone about the community you teach in, A, and why this past couple of years as we do this program at the end of 2021 has been so challenging and so interesting.
I teach in Passaic and I teach at Passaic High School, and we have over 3,000 people in our building. That would include the staff and the students. The most challenging thing about teaching for the past 2 years has been teaching from home. We haven't been back in the building for the past 2 years. We had a program called Apex, and then we would log on with our students, but that human connection piece was missing. So now we're back and we're trying to piece in everything that our students need, as Maslow would say, dealing with self-actualization in order to move them forward. We have a lot of time to make up for.
So let me jump in. Darren, I'm curious, in person, hybrid, at home, what are you doing? And by the way, As we do it as we're doing this program, things are moving constantly. So go ahead, Darren.
Okay. Right now we're in school. We were in school last year, although it was hybrid. I had seniors who I had seen a week before in these little Zoom windows introducing themselves to me, and I didn't know who they were. And we were at graduation, and they graduated because they passed my class. It's been a very, very weird year. The thing that I keep thinking of myself for the last couple of years is they can't see me smile. And I want them to see me smile. I mean, they can see the beard, but they can't see me smile. It's been tough. That personal connection, like Tammy said, it's been tough.
Alyssa, as you listen to your colleagues, how have you kept your, again, very hard for students, and we have three kids, public school, we get the idea. It's challenging enough for students to stay engaged and interested and upbeat and positive in this environment 2 years in as we do this program. How have you done that, Alyssa, with not, how many years have you been teaching, by the way?
This is my 11th year.
How have you kept upbeat and optimistic?
Upbeat and optimistic. I think sticking with my colleagues, our teachers have been such a tremendous support for one another. They've helped, I mean, my colleagues especially have helped me stay positive when I was having low days, and I was able to boost their morale as well. You know, the best teachers are the ones who feel valued, who feel appreciated, who feel celebrated, supported. So I think being able to be that for each other has been definitely, you know, the guiding light in all of this, for sure.
Can we talk mental health not just for yourselves, but for students? I'm curious about this, Darren.
It's a big thing for me. In the last 10 years, I've gone through quite a bit of stuff, and I wound up with a lot of anxiety and some depression. And this has even been before COVID. COVID has kind of jumped in and made it worse. And I think that more of us need to say this out loud, because we talk a lot about our kids having these issues and dealing with fear. And you know, it might not even be fear that you can put into words, but I just feel fear. And now we have this virus that kind of everybody's afraid of for one reason or another. And it's tough. I've focused my energy on sort of bringing that relationship and letting the kids know that listen, I'm suffering too. You know, and I've been in this job for 25 years. I can't imagine what this is like for my colleagues who have been in for their first or second year. Oh, by the way, some of your kids you're not going to meet, and you may never meet them. And ready, go. If you had asked me this even 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I would have said you were out of your mind. It's wild. It's wild.
Tammy, positive, upbeat. How do you do it? I'm saying I know that is you would not have been the county teacher of the year if you were not, if you were mediocre, that wouldn't be happening. Go ahead, Tammy.
So positive, upbeat. I also have a story to tell. While we were in COVID, I was caring for my dad who had cancer. And I was upstairs with him, and I said, Dad, I have to run back downstairs to do one thing on Google Classroom. So now I know the real value of time. He said, go and do what you have to do for your kids. And that was the last thing that he told me. I went upstairs, and so me going back to school, I am on a mission. I have a purpose. But the one thing that I can say that was positive is that my parents and my family celebrate what I do for my community. It was always that our kids or my kids were included in my family circle. So it was befitting for my father to give me that advice prior to him transitioning.
And you gave him that gift, and I'm sorry for your loss. Tammy, the other part of this is you're a breast cancer survivor.
Yes.
How has that played into this, if at all?
Oh, a lot. With our healthcare, we share the AIR initiative, buildings, my students developing health issues with climate change. That's something that I'm working on. It's one of my platforms. Looking at the disparity in education and in health, I would go for my treatment. And yes, I have great insurance because we work for the state. We're covered, but I was also in the room with other women who didn't have that. And it was very, very expensive. They didn't have the support system. They didn't have the job. They didn't have family members or friends. So it was trying, right? And it made me realize that we are very blessed, and that life is not easy, and you have to fight because everyone does not have what we have.
It sounds like to me too that you know, I think maybe people who had forgotten in the past is we're getting a sense of the value of togetherness and working together and cooperating together. And even if that's just the smile that you can't see in your mask, they gotta see my eyes. And you know, a lot of my kids deal with heartbreak. I have a few students who are sort of dealing with something very similar now. Tammy, and they need to know that they're not alone. You know, it's not me in front of them. It's me with them in a different place in the room. You know what I mean?
To see more Think Tank with Steve Adubato programs and to listen to Think Tank with Steve Adubato, the podcast, visit us online at steveadubato.org. If you would like to express an opinion, Email us at info@caucusnj.org. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Steve Adubato, PhD. And follow us on Twitter at Steve Adubato.
Hi, I'm Joe Roth. In New Jersey, there are nearly 4,000 residents in need of a life-saving organ transplant, and one person dies every 3 days waiting for this gift of life. One organ and tissue donor can save 8 lives and enhance the lives of over 75 people. You have the power to make a difference and give hope. For information or to become an organ and tissue donor, visit www.njsharingnetwork.org and be sure to talk with your family and friends about this life-saving decision.
You know, first of all, thank you so much for both of you, for all three of you being so open and candid about your experiences. And Alyssa, I'm going to follow up with you on this. And really, I want all of you on this one. So I have this obsession about engaging people. You know, my job obviously is to try to engage people in conversation here, but I've never had the challenge teaching at the levels that you have, which I would argue is a lot more difficult than what I've done. I teach leadership seminars, but I've also taught at the university level, and I'm doing that in the spring semester of 2022. And the reason I mention that is, whether it's in person or remote, I'm a fan of what I like to call forced engagement. Point being, Alyssa, I call people out by name. Alyssa, let me ask you read chapter 14. Tell me your biggest takeaway. And I've had people say to me, why did you put people on the spot that way? How could you call their name out? They want to be anonymous. And if they want to volunteer, they put their hand up. And I'll say, trust me, there's a question here. The same three people are putting their hands up. So my question to you, Alyssa, whether in person or remotely, how do you engage students? Because in my mind, if you don't engage, it's hard to teach. Please.
Absolutely. First and foremost, it starts with that human relationship, that connection, that smile that Darren was talking about. And, you know, James Comer said there's no significant learning without a significant relationship. And there's been research and studies behind this. But I think most importantly for me, it's allowing myself to connect with the human being that's in front of me. You know, the ins and outs of who that person is and what makes them tick and how I can motivate them as an individual. And that takes a lot of work, right? That's a lot.
Hard and best in the best of times. Harder with the mask?
Oh, yeah. Harder with the mask. It was significantly difficult with the computer screens. I mean, and to a certain extent, you want to keep it equitable, right? I have middle school students from very different socioeconomic backgrounds, and they didn't necessarily want me looking into their homes, and I didn't blame them for that. Middle school is also a really sensitive age in terms of self-awareness and, you know, wanting the acceptance of peers. So to be on a screen all the time and have people looking at you while you're trying to learn is a really challenging feat to overcome. So I think just adjusting, being able to get creative with how students can participate and engage in your lesson without necessarily having to have the screen on. Great if they want it on, encouraged to be there and to have that face-to-face, but
not required? You didn't require it?
I didn't personally, no. I know there were other teachers in my school that did. There were other teachers in other districts that did.
Alyssa, you raise a great point. And again, the clientele, the students, the demographic I deal with, these are professional people going for a master's or a doctorate, and they're professional people in seminars. They're in offices or they're in their home, and it's easier to put the camera on. We need to be more sensitive, Tammy, to different children, different students, and their circumstance, their environment, their surroundings. And so it's easy for me to say, oh, everyone should be on video, because I believe that. But that's much harder to pull off, particularly in a community like yours in Passaic. Is that a fair assessment, Tammy?
I would totally agree. And a lot of times I've had students that were ashamed, and then some would just be very open, depending on the self-esteem level as well. They talked about certain social medias having a big impact on our kids and how they value themselves and how they look. Even with adults, they would rather have their camera on because they weren't happy with the person that they were looking at. And the kids suffered from the same thing. And now
we're back. Multiple kids? What about siblings, all with the camera on? They're sitting across from a table or, go ahead, I'm sorry, Tim.
Yes, you would hear, I have high school students and they had to help. They became the parent, right? Immediately, they had to help their younger siblings and relatives. And sometimes it would be a group-like setting. If the parents had to go to work, the one student would be, you know, responsible for the learning of maybe 3, 4, 5 other children. And you would hear the different conversations going on.
Yeah, and by the way, you're saying it's going on in your house, Darren, but I'm gonna follow up on this. Can you give me one really positive, terrific thing, opportunity, whatever you want to call it, that's come out of these past 2 years? Again, you are the county teachers of the year. There are others as well. But let me ask you, Darren, real quick, one really positive outcome of the past 2 years.
Real quick. I'm never real quick. I have a million things.
I know, but I have to manage the time. I'm sorry. Just like you doing a class.
I think that number one, I think the focus on what people would feel. I'm an old soft. I'm not supposed to be like this as a science teacher, right? I'm supposed to love graphs. I'm supposed to fling protractors around and run around with vials and things. But I'm a softy. I think the sort of a renewal on the relationships that people have with each other. The realization that, you know what, like Tammy said, these kids became tech support when the servers went down. They're yeah. Flinging toast off screen. You got a little kid and you know, you can see cat ears or a sibling running across. I mean, it's, you know, we have to understand that
yeah, it's very real.
There's a lot going on. And I think the focus on what that was maybe got lost before this happened. Maybe we're getting back in touch with the fact that this is relationship.
Alyssa, give me something positive.
I'm going to back off what Aaron just said. I think he spoke to it the best. I mean, our kids were outstanding. I mean, given the circumstances, middle schoolers, the level of responsibility to sign into class, the accountability of getting your work done at 13, 12, 13 years old. Many of my students were, again, helping siblings. So, you know, you would see the computer off to the side, or you would get the feedback from another teacher teaching at the same time. Growing up fast. I mean, they're so tech savvy. And I think the level of empathy that has been kickstarted again for our students is really tremendous. I mean, even the transition back into the classroom, they have been working so hard at rebuilding those relationships and connecting with one another.
Not easy. By the way, I hate the part of my job where I'm cutting people off. Darren, I'm sorry. I'm going to give Tammy a chance. 30 seconds or less. Give me something positive, silver lining here, Tammy, please.
My compassion and my high expectations to still close that achievement gap. I still have it. I'm looking for it. And I believe that our students deserve to be in the classroom with you as their teacher. I'm expecting all of them to go to college and be whoever they deem themselves to be.
All right, I'm taking 20 more seconds. You ready? Tammy, 1 to 10, level of not just, forget about satisfaction, enjoyment and appreciation of being an educator. 1 to 10.
10.
Darren.
18.
So, see, you're over the top.
I'm over the top.
Past 10.
I got another 25 years in me.
And look at that. Talk about burnout. There's no burnout in that guy. Alyssa, what do you got? 11 years in, 1 to 10.
10, definitely.
No doubt.
Beyond. No doubt.
See, both of you have a long way to go to get to 18. Yeah. I don't even know what that is. Listen, congratulations to you and all the County Teachers of the Year that the New Jersey Education Association, a long time supporter of what we do at the Caucus Educational Corporation and of NJ PBS and Spotlight News, big supporters of public broadcasting. Can't not thank all of you enough. Congratulations to you, to your families, to your students. We wish you all the best in 2022. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much,
Steve. Thank you so much.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
To see more Think Tank with Steve Adubato programs and to listen to Think Tank with Steve Adubato, the podcast, visit us online at steveadubato.org. If you would like to express an opinion, email us at info@caucusnj.org. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Steve Adubato, PhD. And follow us on Twitter at Steve Adubato.
Hi, I'm Joe Roth. In New Jersey, there are nearly 4,000 residents in need of a life-saving organ transplant. And one person dies every 3 days waiting for this gift of life. One organ and tissue donor can save 8 lives and enhance the lives of over 75 people. You have the power to make a difference and give hope. For information or to become an organ and tissue donor, visit www.njsharingnetwork.org and be sure to talk with your family and friends about this life-saving decision.
To watch more Think Tank with Steve Adubato, find us online and follow us on social media.
Everything you wanted or needed to know about heart health. We're joined by someone I know very well, Dr. Brett Seelove, who is the chief of cardiology at Jersey Shore University Medical Center. Good to see you, my friend.
Pleasure is all mine. Thanks, Steve.
Let me disclose that Dr. Seelove has been a student of mine for several years in the Hackensack Meridian Health Physician Leadership Academy. I've been teaching leadership and communication there. I've gotten to know him. I've also called him when he hasn't wanted me to about other questions about heart health. But let me ask you something. Biggest misconception about heart health, particularly as it relates to men and women. It's a guy's thing, but not an issue for women, you say.
I say that's 100% true. It's been an old man disease when I was in training. And as it turns out, that is a complete fallacy. More women die from heart disease than men statistically. And this, it is the number one killer in the world, men and women. So it is a complete fallacy. We need to change the face of heart disease for sure.
So let's get at this. Again, I've asked you a lot about, I disclose this all the time that my father had heart issues. My grandfather, I never knew, died well before I was born from a heart attack. He was 44. So every time I'm getting a little ache and pain, which I have this morning, I freak out. What is it? I go to my cardiologist. Then I call Brett offline. My point is this. How much is it genetics? And how much is it because if we eat right, exercise, don't smoke, don't drink a lot, which is which here?
Yeah. I mean, broad strokes, just for your viewers.
It's not about my health. It's about everybody else's.
I think most experts would argue that heart disease is up to 80% preventable. Now, that number is staggering when you think about the medications that you take to minimize your risk. There is nothing that will mitigate your risk for heart disease other than a healthy lifestyle. So, again, all comers, about 80% of it is preventable.
So let's be more specific. Smoking is a problem with heart health.
You got it. It's one of the most preventable causes of heart disease, and we can mitigate.
What is the connection between being overweight / obese and heart health?
A tremendous link, and that link is typically due to insulin resistance, diabetes, and those things come with other bad behaviors, unfortunately, inactivity, high blood pressure. So it's this cascade of events that typically we see when people are obese or have obesity.
So let me ask you, are the issues the same for men and women? I know I keep going back to men and women as it relates to A, what they can do in terms of lifestyle, and B, treatment.
Yeah. I would tell you that men and women should go about this the same way. It is about prevention. We are very good at treating your heart attack when it happens. We're not perfect. About 12% of people die from a heart attack when it happens, but we're very good if it's treated early. But the real answer is prevention. You have one engine in life, and that's sitting in your left side of your chest. And we better treat that really, really well, man or woman. The problem with women, again, historically, they've been negated from clinical trials and textbooks, and they present with non-classic symptoms. So that's problem number one, is they get actually their first EKG when they enter an emergency department across the United States is minutes later than a man. So first of it, it's recognition. Women present with non-classic symptoms, jaw pain, back pain, severe indigestion, just sweatiness, and not the classic elephant on my chest, down my left arm, and short of breath.
So men, I told you I had a little bit of soreness over here, and it probably is from working out or having a cold. Is if and again, not always, and we're not diagnosing or putting this out on the air as a, you know, as the end and be all. Usually with men, it's the left side.
Usually for, with men and women, it's the left side. But again, it is an it is the number one killer in the world. So you're dealing with an incredibly common disease. And unfortunately, that presents more often in an uncommon fashion. So my answer to this is always, I was never taught what classic chest pain should be, because there is no what it should be. If your body is saying something to yourself, this doesn't feel right, you should seek medical attention. There are classic signs of stroke and heart attack.
Sorry for interrupting. What about down the arm? If you, it's down the arm, that doesn't always happen.
That's correct. And that's why we really don't teach this in training, and we don't really tell patients it only is with chest pain in the center of your chest, down your left arm. It's if something doesn't feel right and you've never had it before, I would argue that you should let somebody know, a loved one and then a physician, probably in that order.
COVID and heart health. Talk about it.
Yeah, well, there are two things I would answer. First and foremost, unfortunately, COVID has affected obviously us all, but it's affected heart disease as well. People are presenting much later with their heart disease, much later with their stroke, much later with their heart attack. And when it comes to heart and brain, time is everything. So we see a lot of bad results for heart attack and stroke. So that's thing number one. Thing number two is there are implications if you succumb to COVID, that there are complications to the heart. So it's really a double whammy.
And the connection between vascular issues and heart health?
Well, vascular issues and heart health in the context of COVID has to do with inflammation and blood clotting problems. Vascular disease and cardiac disease are linked because it's cardiovascular medicine. We're dealing with a very similar process of hardening of the arteries across the continuum of your body.
Say it again, 80%, I keep looking at this number, 80% of heart disease cases preventable.
Yeah, I mean, that's the guesstimate across the population. Now, I tell people that if it's 50% in patient A versus patient B, let's just use statistics to what they are. They're a guesstimate. We want to walk into the game of life from one decade to the next as maximized as we could get you. And a vast majority of it is lifestyle.
Real quick, before I let you go, people who have had significant heart procedures, surgical, and the surgery's changed dramatically. To what degree have you seen people come back to live pretty healthy, dare I use the term, normal lives?
Yeah, heart disease is not a death sentence. It doesn't have to be, and it shouldn't be. So if you have heart disease, you could live till 120, God bless your soul. It doesn't mean that something is terribly tragic about to happen. But when you have heart disease, it increases your risk for having more heart disease. And with aggressive medical therapy and close surveillance and lifestyle, you know, you could live a long, fruitful life for sure.
Dr. Brett Seelove, I cannot thank you enough for joining us. Chief of Cardiology at Jersey Shore Medical Center, tied to HMH Hackensack Meridian Health, a longtime supporter of what we were doing in public broadcasting. Brett, I want to thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Pleasure's mine. Thanks, Steve.
I'm Steve Adubato. That's Dr. Seelove. We'll see you next time.
Think Tank with Steve Adubato has been a production of the Caucus Educational Corporation. Funding has been provided by the New Jersey Education Association, New Jersey Sharing Network, NJ Best, New Jersey's 529 College Savings Plan, Wells Fargo, the Russell Berry Foundation, the Adler Aphasia Center, Georgian Court University, Johnson & Johnson, and by Summit Health. Promotional support provided by Insider NJ, and by the New Jersey Business and Industry Association. To see more Think Tank with Steve Adubato programs and to listen to Think Tank with Steve Adubato, the podcast, visit us online at steveadubato.org. If you would like to express an opinion, email us at info@caucusnj.org. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Steve Adubato PhD. And follow us on Twitter at Steve Adubato.
Hi, I'm Joe Roth. In New Jersey, there are nearly 4,000 residents in need of a life-saving organ transplant. and one person dies every 3 days waiting for this gift of life. One organ and tissue donor can save 8 lives and enhance the lives of over 75 people. You have the power to make a difference and give hope. For information or to become an organ and tissue donor, visit www.njsharingnetwork.org and be sure to talk with your family and friends about this life-saving decision.